This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading this morning is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot accept, because the world neither sees nor knows it. But you know it, because the Spirit remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Let's rise and join together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in truth as a living reality, not captured in theory or a creed, but revealed to those who love, the truth of Jesus, the Spirit of Truth, the truth of God. Because I believe, I trust, not blindly, but open-eyed and bold as a child climbing into a mother's lap, the truth of Jesus, the Spirit of Truth, the truth of God. Because I believe, I serve, not as a slave that serves a tyrant, but like farmers reaping a harvest, the truth of Jesus, the Spirit of Truth, the truth of God.
Our focus scripture this morning is from the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 22 through 31. And we pick up with the story when he's in Athens. I share it with you this morning from Eugene Peterson's message. So pay close attention to the story of Paul amongst the folk in Athens. "So Paul took his stand in the open space at the Areopagus and laid it out for them. 'It is plain to see that you Athenians take your religion seriously. When I arrived here the other day, I was fascinated with all the shrines I came across. And then I found one inscribed, "To the God Nobody Knows." I'm here to introduce you to this God, so you can worship intelligently, knowing who you're dealing with. The God who made the world and everything in it, this master of sky and land, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human family to run errands for God, as if God couldn't take care of God's self. God makes the creatures. The creatures don't make God. Starting from scratch, God made the entire human family and made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living, so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find God. God doesn't play hide and seek with us. God is not remote. God's near. We live and move in God. Can't get away from God. One of your poets said it well. We're the God created. Well, if we are the God created, it doesn't make a lot of sense to think we could hire a sculptor to chisel a God out of stone for us, does it? God overlooks it, as long as you don't know any better. But that time is past, and God's calling for a radical life change. God has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. And God has already appointed the judge, confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I went into the kitchen this past week to heat something up on the stove. And I turned on the burner knob and, you know, the little light that comes on, it says the burner's on, came on. But I thought, I wonder if I turned on the right burner, because sometimes it's hard to read those little icons. And so I stuck my hand and I put it on the burner that
I thought I had turned on, and I had. It was hot. Then I got a paring knife out of the drawer, and I thought, I wonder if this knife is sharp enough. So I turned it over, and I went like this on the blade. And yeah, it was sharp enough. I knew better than to do that, but sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do. We know we shouldn't do them, but we still do it anyway. I was following a car. I came up to the traffic light at McGregor and Phillips this last week, and the car in front of me, and we got to almost to the traffic light, and the light turned yellow. And you remember from driver's ed, right, that when the light turns yellow, you're supposed to slow down and get ready to stop? Not the person in front of me. Hit the gas and sped through that thing. Didn't make it through before the light turned red. I'm sure that driver knew better. But we've all done that, haven't we? You know better than that. You ever said that to your kids? Moms? You ever told your kids that? When they did something they know better than to do? I'll bet you have. Dads, we do it too. Our moms and dads said that same thing to us. We know better than to do some of the things we do, and yet we continue to do them, don't we? We know better, but we still do those things. Greta, Jack, and Sam and I talked about maybe stomping in the mud. They know better than to do that. We all know better, but it's so tempting, isn't it, to just splash in the mud? The old adage that the more things change, the more things stay the same. Now, this morning's scripture is a prime example of that for us. Paul goes to Athens, biblical Athens, sees all of these multiple gods. That's the Greek culture. We know that from school, don't we? The Greeks worshipped multiple gods. Paul introduces him, tells him about the God that Paul knows, the one, the unknown God. I mean, they had an idea there might be another God out there, but weren't quite sure, but they still had a statue, a shrine, an idol, whatever you want to call it, of this unknown God. So Paul introduces him to this God and tells him, this is the God that you should worship. The only one. It's all you need. So he convinces the Athenians, at least some of them, not all of them are going to be convinced, that this is the God. The other gods, no. Throw them away. Cast them aside. Focus on this God and what this God has done for you and will do for you. We know that God too. We've been learning about that God since our earliest days in Sunday school and our Christian education. And yet, there are all sorts of other gods that if we really want to admit it, really want to think about it, that we worship on a daily basis, that demand, call out to us, worship me. Got your cell phone close by? In your pocket? In your purse? How many times a day do we worship that God? Or our computers? Or our work? Or celebrities? Or politicians? Or flags? Or countries? All of them, all of those things and many more are things that we might fall prey to and worship at one time or another. But Paul says to the Athenians, Paul says to us this morning, here's this God that you should know. Here's this God that we know. If you're going to take your religion seriously, if you're going to take your faith seriously, do away with those other gods. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments, depending on what translation you look at, one of them that I checked out says, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, that kind of implies that you can have other gods, but the God that gave us the Ten Commandments gets top billing. But another translation says this, worship no god but me. That's not easy to do. We live in a world with a variety of gods calling out to us. Spend your time with me. Put me first. And we fall victim to that once in a while. But we know better, don't we? To worship intelligently, as Paul tells the Athenians, as Paul tells us this morning, it requires a radical life change, and that means getting rid of those, at least putting them in a lower position, those gods which we worship, which the culture places before us. And that calls for radical change. We know better than to think otherwise, that we can put all the gods in our lives and we can manage them intelligently, responsibly. We know better. We know Paul's God. It's our God too. To worship, to live in accordance with God's will, God's vision for God's world, the one that Jesus showed us, is hard work. And even though we're tempted to follow others, we know better. Our lives depend on that, following God's ways, serving God. Everyone's life depends upon it. When we're tempted, okay. We know better. If we can tell ourselves that, we'll be fine. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.